Blog Talk Radio.
Long story short is this,
you know, I understand that if you push against these interviewees, your guests, too hard, they will simply opt not to come back on your show. So the hosts have to find a fine balance in order to get the answers that, or they elicit the answers that they want from the guests. The guest is going to sit up and lie. I, you know, and as we know that this president does often, you know, that's the first time I've ever said that. But this guy is just, he is an unmitigated liar. I think he should be called on it. I don't think we should normalize that because it isn't normal. And I think this is the problem with the mainstream media. And it was a similar problem that we had in 2016. They refused to do a deep dive on the guy. I mean, there were tons of journalists that could have, you know, Wayne Berry. Is he still alive? Or did he pass? I think he just passed, but he's done the most deep dives into Trump, you know, that predated his presidency. And, you know, when he was working for the Village Voice, and then he went freelance, and he was writing for a lot of other publications. He did a number of pieces, exposés on Trump and the Trump Organization, and Giuliani, you know, because they've been boys for a long time, you know, which is kind of ironic, given that Giuliani was, you know, I guess, because of his own particular, you know, heritage, wanted to go hardcore after the mob. And him and Mueller and all these guys know each other very well. Matter of fact, that segues into something that I wanted to discuss, you know, in preparation for the show yesterday. I was reading the New York Times. It was a piece in the Times about, you know, Chris Wray, the director of the FBI, and Rod Rosenstein, deputy director of the Department of deputy attorney general of the Department of Justice, and Brett Kavanaugh, all Yale men, and they're all contemporaries. And I didn't realize that. I had no idea that Rod Rosenstein was in his early 50s. I thought he was older than that. For some reason, I don't know why, I just assumed he was. And Chris Wray, you know, they would have been a class ahead or behind one another, if not in the same class. And I was stunned. And, of course, you know, the conflicts are glaring. And I was like, well, wow. You know, no wonder they didn't push hard, especially given the confrontational tenor that 45 has visited on the agency. No wonder why they didn't push back, you know, against the limited or review that they were, or mandate, you know, for a review that they were given on the Kavanaugh background investigation. So it was just interesting. And, yeah, I don't believe in coincidence. I believe that everything, you know, has a cause or is related, interrelated. And you just have to find those intersectionalities in order to determine the link is a substantive one or just a coincidental one. And it's not a what would I say, oxymoron. You know, both can be true, and often are. So at any rate, you know, I watched the interview, and it's just, I mean, how many times the word Obama comes out of the guy's mouth? He's obviously fixated on Obama. And he's had a relatively good week this week, got to admit it. The economy is steaming ahead. Not in large part or measure to him. I mean, there are others, you know, certain segments of this, or certain sectors of the economy are doing very well, while others are suffering, specifically agriculture, you know, small, medium, large farms. You know, our Archer Miller and Daniel and ConAgra, those, you know, companies that are, you know, have, you know, million hectare not talking about, you know, a little 10, 15, 20-acre farm or smaller, you know, like ours, you know, 2 acres or something like that. I'm talking a substantial amount of land, you know, because of the tariffs that this guy has put on China. And it just goes on and on and on. And then, you know, we had the added incident of Saudi Arabia. Apparently, the jury's still out on this. Apparently lured a journalist whom they disagreed with, Khashoggi, I believe his name was, into their Turkish embassy. And apparently there, they were going to return him forcefully. A rendition is what they call it. It's just a kidnapping, old-fashioned way of saying kidnapping, euphemistic way, rather. Apparently, so they say, or so the Turks say, they had some intel, human, or probably electronic eavesdropping devices. It went bad, and they wind up killing him and dismembering his body. And the reason this is a problem is because, you know, this is you're murdering someone on foreign soil in a diplomatic compound, which, you know, is the sovereign property of the country, not the host country, but the company, the country whose embassy is in the host country. So if the Saudis indeed did do this, and they're a brutal regime, don't get it twisted. I mean, you know, it's virtually the death penalty for everything there. Drug running, pornography, homosexuality, even alcoholism. You know, you could lose your life, your head, literally, in Saudi Arabia if you're ever in the country and were alleged to have committed any of those, you know, offenses. And under their law, you know, Sharia, you know, those are all offenses punishable by death. And they don't hesitate to pull out the sword if necessary. And apparently that's what happened to this journalist. So it's awful. You know, Trump in his rant yesterday, you know, which brings us to segues into another topic associated with this guy, claimed that he's going to get to the bottom of it, and but he's not going to cancel an arms deal. You know, they have a $350 million or billion. I'm not even sure what the number is. I'm sure it's up there. Arms deal that they're allegedly negotiating. They haven't actually done it yet. And Trump said that he wasn't going to risk alienating. Not alienating, he didn't say it like that. He said that, you know, that basically no matter what, this is what I gleaned from it, that he was still going to sell him arms. And again, that's up in the air because there's no firm proposal to sell that amount of arms to Saudi Arabia. But he's saying that, you know, there's a lot of countries that want that contract, and I'm sure there are, you know, that have the capacity to fulfill it. You know, he wasn't going to, you know. So he talks out of both sides of his mouth because you don't know. One minute he's going to be very, very hard, and it's going to be bad punishment, you know, because the Saudis are bad boys, and it's sort of foolishness. And on the other hand, then he's saying, well, he still wants to engage in commerce with this regime, which is, you know, by all objective standards, extraordinarily repressive. They follow a form of Islam, Wahhabism, you know, that was it's sort of extremist, you know. They're Sunni, which means they follow the prophet, Muhammad. But this guy Wahhab was apparently textualist when it comes to the Quran, and said that, you know, I guess it was an agreement with all of the Buddhists, you know, the people that live in these little fiefdoms in Saudi Arabia, you know, that if, you know, they adhere you have Sharia law in Saudi Arabia, which is not democratic at all. And, you know, they carry out public executions. It's really a backward regime. And, you know, it's not not an ally we ought to be proud of. And if this incident with Khashoggi, where they lured this journalist into the embassy, their embassy in Turkey, and killed and dismembered him, that's, you know, they have violated any number of international treaties and laws. And there should be a swift response from the international community. So anyway, we're waiting to see where that heads. The other thing is earlier last week, Kanye West met with Trump in the Oval Office, and you know, by all objective measures, it was a spectacle. And I wrote a couple of pieces on it on social media, and then basically left it alone. You know, Charles Blow has a good article about it in the New York Times, worth a read. And I don't know whether to feel embarrassed or saddened for the guy. I probably feel a combination of all the above. You know, I mean, it's not my purview to get into decisions of another grown man, and I really don't. But in this case, you have a public figure. Kanye West, whether we like it or not, is a public figure. I'm not a public figure. You know, be a public figure, you have to know over a million people, and that has to be documented through social media. That's a public figure. That's someone that over a million people know, and you could go to social media and you could literally see that this person has that sort of following. So that being said, he got up there and cooned and buffooned and skinned and grinned, and it was just awful. I mean, you know, I'm basically wondering, and you know, like when you're married and things like that, you know, your significant other, your wife or your husband exerts some influence over you, but at the end of the day, you are an individual, and as an individual, you have the choice to make individual decisions about how you want to comport yourself or who you want to support in this particular case. And I don't think that the guy is creative. He's a creative genius. As creative as he is, this particular decision was not well thought out. That's all I can say. It just was not a well thought out decision. Let's take a break and come back on the other side of the break and finish talking about Mr. West and Mr. Trump.
The Endangered Species Act of 1973 was signed into law by President Richard M. Nixon on December 28, 1973. It was designed to protect critically imperiled species from extinction as a consequence of economic growth and development untempered by adequate concern and conservation. The U.S. Supreme Court found that the plain intent of Congress in enacting the ESA was to halt, reverse, the trend towards species extinction, whatever the cause. A species is considered to be endangered if it's in danger of extinction throughout its lifespan or a significant portion of its habitat is threatened, destroyed, or invaded, or if it is likely to become an endangered species within the foreseeable future. Then why are black boys on this list? Black boys are an endangered species. Please go to GoFundMe and to our campaign at /PLZ2MO and contribute generously to help us build an alternative school for these boys that will become a national model for educational innovation. Again, go to GoFundMe and to our campaign at /PLZ2MO.
10:49 a.m., October 15, 2018. Oh, I have something going on with my throat. You have to bear with me. So, in anyway, we were talking about Kanye West, and that, you know, I know his his wife exerts some influence over the guy, but I don't quite know what's going on here. You know, and one of his collaborators, who's well known in his own right, I don't know, I was listening to an interview he gave. I don't know where I was I-70 somewhere, and heading back towards I-95 or up into Maryland and then up into New York on I-95. And I can't think of this guy's name. He's from, might be from Florida, but he does a lot of collaboration. As a matter of fact, he runs Kanye West's label. And he said, we do good in the studio. We have a working collaborative relationship, but I do not agree with his politics, and which is basically what, you know, all his boy said to a person, you know. You have a lot of guys that come out of Chicago up there, and they're not outwardly condemning him, but they're saying that, there might be another message there. I don't know. I don't see how there is. I think his support for 45 is unambiguous. I don't think it's conditional. So, but at any rate, I guess that'll work its way out. So we have this guy in the Supreme Court now, and basically that's going to mean a rollback of virtually everything. If they can get it before the court, you can guarantee that this guy, he already ruled in a recent case that's before him, and I don't quote me as gospel on this, the name of the case, but it was a case in which the issue of separating children from parents at the border had arose again to come before the Supreme Court. And his interpretation of the guiding statutes was that the Congress meant for these penalties to be quote-unquote harsh. So here we have a guy that told us what he was going to do when he got into office, exact revenge for the Democrats having the temerity to want to look into his background, considering he was nominated to a lifetime appointment to the United States Supreme Court, the highest court in the land, the last word, literally. And first outing, he makes known that he is going to follow through on his promise or threat, however you choose to parse it. So it's, I can wait these guys out, man. I really can. You know, God is good. I just pray for the people who aren't in a position to. Because, at the end of the day, these guys, they're on, they have a majority in the Senate, and they might maintain or increase. Who knows? We don't know, because the way the electoral map is drawn up here in the United States is two senators per state. We had a proportional number of House representatives. There'd probably be in some states, more populous states like New York and Texas and California, there might be 10 or 15, if not, more than that. Way more than that. You're talking 100 senators and 435 or 535 members of the House of the lower House of Representatives. And I say all that to say that, if we could crack the Senate again, and by we, I mean progressives, I'm not a Democrat nor a Republican, I am unaffiliated, I think that we could put the kibosh on a lot of policies coming out. And I'm not, all the deregulation and stuff like that, people say, that's good for business, look, everything is, we've got a white-hot economy, yeah, but it's all going to come crashing down. Trust me, and I'm not being a naysayer, I'm just saying that all these cuts that he implemented or got through Congress have to be paid for. government services such as Medicare and Medicaid and SNAP and so-called other social safety net programs realize that they are eyeing these programs to offset or to balance out the tax cuts that they gave to the upper 1% of the wealthiest people in this country, I think, you know, the recession that will result is going to be formidable. I mean, it's a lot of stuff, man. I mean, you know, you could talk about this administration. It will be talked about for years and years and years and years. You know, the perfect storm allowing this blustering, lying, con man, windbag from New York. We knew this guy very well for years and years and years and years. You know, he's been nothing more than a con artist, you know, always stiffing his vendors and talking crap about the African-American community, though he wants to have a relationship with the artists in the community. You know, he wants to be hip. He wants to be seen with them. So, I don't know. We're going to see what happens in a few weeks. I don't know them either, you know, because they're saying that the numbers have tightened now, the Democrats and Republicans. You know, and this is where I was saying that the if you look at they had a map up. I think I might publish it because I got to do some work on a website, but I'm not going to do it today because I just have too much other stuff going on. But if you look at how the country is situated, man, I mean, it's virtually a sea of red in the sparsely populated states like North Dakota, where they might, I mean, how many people does North Dakota have in it? I mean, the entire state, if it has 100,000 people, that's a lot. You know, it might not even be that amount, you know. And they get the same, you know, proportional representation as a state like New York, which is, you know, 1,000 times, you know, has 1,000 times the population. Or California, another large state, you know. Even Florida, which, you know, is an interesting political dynamic. So I'm looking to see what happens over the next couple of weeks, and I hope that you're here listening what happens as well. I don't know when the next holiday is, but just keep it tuned in, and certainly at 10:30 from Monday through Friday. And on Saturday, there is someone on, another co-host from the Marketing Pulp, and you ought to take a listen. Have a great week.
It's all part of the